Amen. Do you believe your family is healthy? That God is mending relationships that have been broken? What do you believe about your family this year? Do you believe your family is going to have the best year it ever had? What do you believe? I'm asking you, what do you believe? Because when you answer this question, you're setting your destiny. You're setting the course for the rest of the year. Do you believe your family is blessed? Do you believe your family is overcoming? What do you believe about your body? Do you believe you're going to restore your health if it's been lost? Do you believe you're healed by Jesus' stripes? What do you believe about your body? Do you believe your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you believe your body is healthy and strong? Do you believe your health is being recovered? God said, I will restore health to you. What do you believe about your finances? What are you saying about your money? What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your ministry? What are you saying about your business? What are you saying about your career? Are you saying you're blessed? Are you saying you're going to have more than you ever had? Are you saying you're going to give more than you ever gave? You can give more than you ever gave if you have more than you ever had. See, some people look at it and they say, well, I'm only making this much. I can't give no more. No, I'm not believing that I'm going to give more on what I got. I believe more going to come in so I can give more. See how people limit themselves? Oh, I can't give no more. This is where I'm at. I ain't talking about giving more from where you at. I'm talking about experiencing increase. I'm going to give more because I'm going to have more. Now, you don't have to believe that about yourself. You say, well, you know, my job only paid it. You can limit yourself to your job if you want, but you're going to have what you believe for. If that's all you can believe is what your job providing, then that's all you're going to have. Right? If that's what you believe, look, Pat, this is all I got. I ain't got no more coming in. And that's what you believe, and you're voicing it, and Jesus is hearing. And he'll look at you and say, so be it unto you according to your faith. If you limit him to your job, then that's where he's going to stop. But I'm saying take the limits off God. We serve a great God, a big God, a mighty God. What do you believe about your future?
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you afresh for this time now. We're hearing from you. Let the Holy Ghost teach us straight from the text. Let him tailor the truth so that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed what you have to say. God, we praise you and give you glory for meeting us right where we are and lifting us to the place you desire us to be. Now we thank you again for the privilege of the fellowship with you and the saints. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this Palm Sunday experience, I want us to look in Matthew's account in the 21st chapter, and I want to continue on, if you will, in this same chapter, the word that God has for us at this hour. Matthew chapter 21, verse 15 says, "But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?'" Verse 17 says, "Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there." Having read these verses from the New King James Version, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Religious rulers asked Jesus, did he hear what the children were saying? Right. On this triumphal entry, Jesus, having fulfilled and continues to fulfill scripture prophesied about this time in his ministry, about this time in his life, about this time that God had prepared for the coming Messiah, for the redeeming of mankind, it begins to unfold in what we call this Holy Week. This is the setting in motion of the things that will bring to pass all that Jesus Christ had come to planet Earth to do. Yes, he had come to be our chief example, but more than being our chief example, he came to be the sacrificial lamb to make atonement for all man's sins and bring him in a right relationship with God. Simply put, he came to die. And everything that he had lived for, everything that he had worked for, everything that he had taught brought him to the apex of this time. And this last week is the ending of his life here on planet Earth. And look at what happens as he is now riding in as an humbled king on a donkey, and where never a man sat, and as there are those who have thrown and strewn against the streets clothes and branches, etc., and shouting Hosanna to David, the son of David, and Hosanna in the highest, and all of these accolades and these calls for salvation and save us now were coming because Jesus was now being presented as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. So as he's making his way in this parade and in this processional, it's interesting how Matthew records that as they shout out all of these things, the first place Jesus now stops as Messiah is at the church house. The king comes to church. And what he does as the conquering king, as the Messiah of God, He sees what he has seen before, but the role he played up until that point was not the role to put things in order authoritatively, as he now comes into town and comes into the church or the temple or synagogue to put things in order, because now he's getting ready to leave. But as he leaves, he's making it clear that he is the promised Messiah, he is the king, and he has the authority to get his father's house in order. So he goes in, and all those who are doing things in an irreverent and ungodly and unjust way, he sets all of that straight. He deals with the money changers. He turns over the tables. He puts out those buying and selling, because all that they were doing was done in a way to deceive man, to bring it into a place, the place that God had blessed, the place that God had called his house of prayer. They had turned into a den, a place, a hangout for thieves. In other words, people came to be helped and they became hurt. People came seeking salvation and they got something other than that, mostly sorrow. All of the things that the temple was set up to be and to become for those who were seeking became just the opposite, and it was a haven for thieves, crooks, and robbers. Jesus said, before I leave this place, I'm gonna get this place straight. And so he comes in town as a king riding on a donkey, and he comes to the church, and the same place he had been many times before, and allowed those things to get together after all of the teaching and it hadn't been straight. Jesus said, now let me do what I have authority to do. And he began straightening out his father's house. And I want you to see the interesting thing about scripture is, because when this thing happens, something else amazingly happens after that. One of the things you're going to realize, my brothers and sisters, is it's very difficult for the church to function the way the church ought to function if it's not functioning the way it ought to function. I don't believe you got that. In other words, there was no real sincere prayer going on where prayers could be heard and mercy could be found. That there were no real sincere true believers in there believing God for healings and deliverances and people to be set free. That really wasn't no true, pure, genuine praise and or worship going on in the church. It had been turned to a religious auditorium where people who were playing church went to act like they had a relationship with God. They were religious, but they were not righteous. And Jesus said, because of this, the people who really need to be here, the people who really need the help, the people who are really looking for the Savior, can't even get in for all the crooks they got in there. So I want you to see this in scripture, because what Jesus did in straightening out the church before he left gives us the responsibility to keep it straight till he comes back. Look at the text. I want you to see that. The Bible says, let me back on up, if you will, to verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Everything they did was done with a purpose for self-motive and self-profit. God received no glory, and those who came seeking God received no good. Jesus began with the problem and the problem makers and dealt with them. Verse 13 says, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. A den, keep in mind that word now. It's a hangout, it's a place. You know, some of you have dens in your home with all of the other rooms. And if you have guests and folk who come by, everybody hangs out in the den. It's that place where folk congregate together with the same cause. And so it was, the church had become a den of thieves. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Verse 14 says, then, somebody say then. Then what? The blind and the lame came to him where?
in the temple, and he healed them. Now listen at this. There are people waiting in most of our churches to come in when the churches get cleaned out. See, real ministry can't happen unless we are ministry minded. And our ministry must be geared to the mission of Jesus. And if we are not ministry minded to the mission of Jesus, the real people who need to be helped will be on the outside of the doors, while the people who are pretending like we are helping are on the inside, preventing them from coming in and getting what God has said his house provides. You find a church that's lifting up Jesus, that's magnifying his mission and his message, and preparing those people who serve to do work for those who are in need of that work, and you will find that people will find themselves in that house, in that place, being healed, being delivered, being set free, giving God praise and glory, not being ashamed to testify, not being ashamed to lift up holy hands, not being ashamed to be true and sincere worshipers where that kind of true feeling and sense of spirit can flow. But then when you got a church with folk who are simply pretending and performing and perpetrating, who are acting like it's all about them and not about him, who wants to brag on their position, how long they've been in that position and what they know about that position and aren't doing the jobs of that position. People who tell you, my grandparents were here, they built this church, they bought that pew, they did this, they did. What has that to do with ministry? People in position ought to be in position to lead and to show and to do ministry. Ministry. After a while, people get tired of the same old, same old. They get tired of going in the church hurt and leaving out the church hurt because they can't get no help in the church house. People get tired of seeing folk act like they're having church, and if you ain't careful, they'll cuss you out right in church. Don't sit in their seat. Don't move close to their territory. Don't act like you want to do what they do. Something's wrong with that picture. And it prevents people from getting the help, having the hope, and seeing the Savior that they desire to see. But when Jesus cleaned up the church and got rid of all of the pretenders and the performers and those who were perpetrating, the Bible says, then the blind and the lame were able to come on in. There was room in the church for those who needed help. There was hope in the church because Jesus was present. And I want you to see, the scripture loses no time in making clear that once the temple was cleansed, those who needed the Lord immediately came on in. Tell your neighbor, somebody's waiting to come in. Somebody's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door and let them in. Listen, listen, listen. I want you to see this. Verse 14 says, then the blind and the lame came to him, Jesus, in the temple, and he healed them. He healed them. When they left out, no doubt they had been there before and couldn't get no help, didn't have no hope, and so it wasn't no real sense in coming to church until they found out all of those folk who were not there for the right reason were no longer in the places they were in. And they came in and had no problem finding Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they found also their cure. They found their deliverance. They found their ability to worship in spirit and in truth. And I want you to see what happens next. The Bible says, verse 15, but when the chief priests and lawyers of the word, the scribes, saw the wonderful, somebody say wonderful. Wonderful things that he did, and the children, focus in on this now, crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. The Bible says they were indignant. They were indignant. My brothers and sisters, what's clear about this word, and I want us to see this, because when we see these wonderful things, and it's important to understand that that word Hosanna means save now. Save now. Healing is going forth. The Spirit of the Lord is there present in Jesus to heal and to deliver and to set free. And children have tapped in to the move of God. The Spirit of the Lord is moving so much so that children are caught up in this glory crowd, the cloud, and they are crying out with their little voices, Hosanna to the Son of David, because their daddy, their uncle, their cousin, their friend, the neighbor, the man they've seen at the gate begging, on and on and on, they saw those people healed and delivered, and the Holy Spirit obviously was so thick in that place that children got caught up in the moment. And my brothers and sisters, this was a major move of the Holy Ghost. And listen, that was an excitable thing. And the children got happy. You know, a lot of times we don't give children credit for hearing and seeing and knowing what's going on. And while they may not be able to know all of the theological ramifications connected with the situation, they can tell it ain't church as usual. They look on the faces and tears are running down people, and people are shouting and running, lifting up, holding hands. They can tell that ain't usual church service. Something is going on around there, and something got a hold of them. Oh, yes, it did. I said something got a hold of them, and they were around there shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, the chief priests and the scribes are sitting there looking.
Yeah. Come on,
now. What in the world is going on? Look at this foolishness here. These children don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They're just playing. Well, I tell you what, I think God would rather have a child playing, saying it from the sincerity of their hearts, than to have folks sitting there looking like God is not real and that he is dead and that he has no living power in the church or the world or this place today. Those children were screaming and shouting, Hosanna! To the Son of David. They recognized something. Even, listen at this, if it was not totally comprehensible to them, it was something, the Spirit of the living God, that made them cry out. That's why Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You've got to learn how to humble yourself. You ain't gonna understand everything right away. But you don't have to hinder and quench the move of the Holy Ghost. You may not always know what's going on and how he's moving. He may be touching the person on the side of you, but you're acting like you better not touch me in that kind of spirit. And so he passes over you and reaches somebody who's waiting on a miracle, a blessing, a breakthrough, and ministers to them. And the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priests became indignant. Indignant. They didn't get indignant about the people robbing people. They didn't get indignant about them selling pigeons that had one eye instead of being perfect for sacrifices. They didn't get indignant about that. They didn't get indignant about the money changers who were ripping folk off in the exchange of currency. They didn't get indignant about the indignities that were being done in the house of God and to the people of God. They got indignant because they finally had some church. You know, they didn't really appreciate all of that hand clapping, hand waving, stomping, running, getting up and running, shouting, doing all that. We don't do that up in us church. We go to sleep on what the preacher is saying, and when he ends, we say amen. But if there's somebody who happens to bear witness to the truth while the truth is going forth, we look at them like, what are you doing? And so these high ups, high authoritative figures, became indignant because the Lord started healing, delivering, setting folk free, and children got excited in the celebration. And look at what the word says, because I want you to see that. There are actually three words. There's the word from the children, and then there's the word from the critics, and then finally there's the word from Christ. But now look again. We've heard the word from the children. The word was a simple word, and it was this: Hosanna to the Son of David. That was all the children's word was. I mean, and they shouted it and screamed it with all that was in them. And so much so that it curled underneath the skin of these folk who didn't want to hear this coming from these children. So now let's look at the word from the critics. Because the Bible says, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, talking to Jesus now, do you hear what these are saying? Jesus, I know you're not going to go for this. Do you hear what these children are saying? They wanted literally him to denounce and renounce what they were saying about him. Well, here's what they needed to know. They wouldn't say it. So God got some children who didn't mind saying. You know, children will say some stuff. They don't care where they are. They say how they feel. They're just children will be all up in your face saying stuff. Children are just pure a lot of times, and just, you know, they don't know nothing about political correctness. You get up in a child's face and get to talking, child, get to, ooh, your breath. Dear. Now here you be trying to, would you like a mint? No, I don't want one. No, won't you have? No, I don't want one. You need to say, you need this, but we ain't gonna do that. Children be like, You be like, nah, don't say that, don't do that. You teaching them how to not be real or not be tactful or whatever it is, but children are just real. Ain't nobody coached them to say this. The Spirit of the living God was moving, and these children were vessels who didn't mind being used. And listen at this. So we had the word from the children, the word from the critics, but listen to the word from Christ. The Bible says, and Jesus said to them, yes. Do you hear what they are saying? Yes. Jesus said, yes. He didn't say it in a soft tone. He said, yes. Have you never read? They got the sense to say, but my question to you is, have you never read? Because sometimes we become so sanctified, so set in our ways, so holier than thou. We become so refined, so dignified that we can't open our mouths and give the praise and glory to God that he deserves. So he says, have you not read? Yeah. Listen at this. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Jesus said, yes, I heard him. Sounds pretty good to me. Question is, have you read that what they are saying has already been ordained? See, they didn't even really know that they were a part of scripture to be fulfilled. All they know is something got a hold of them. And they went to shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Yes, I hear them. What it's telling me is time is running out. What used to be won't be no more. And God is making that perfected praise come out of the mouths of children who ain't got sense enough like you to keep their mouths closed. Thank God for children. Thank God that when it hits them, they move and they got sense enough to open their mouth. When something hits us, we don't even have sense.